ahead. The Eden and Eretz Yisrael went through a very difficult winter as the negotiations took place between America and Iraq, and Iraq had promised that as soon as America drops the first bomb, they're going to be dropping missiles over Eretz Yisrael. There was a lot of tension, and then the war broke out. The war took place for 39 days, Lamates Yomim. 39 missiles fell on Eretz Yisrael, and the war finished off on Yom Shlishi, Pashas V'Shomru B'nei Yisrael Es HaShavas. There was a gavalt of Nisim that took place during the time, and many people, there were many Bali Tshuvas that were Chozer B'Tshuva during that Tkufa. I actually happened to meet, get to know a few. And at the time then, as a younger man, I was wondering to myself that Bishlom are those that were in a place where a bomb landed on them in the area and they were saved. I can understand that as a Chozer B'Tshuva to Rebbeinu Shleilom, they became Bali Tshuvas. But all the others had absolutely no connection. They were sitting in their comfortable homes, they're watching their televisions, and they saw the Nisim, and they became Bali Tshuvas. What was the reason that brought them, what motivated them to become Bali Tshuvas? In this week's Sedra, the Pasuk says, Yaakov Avinu, when he is davening to Rebbeinu Shleilam, he says, Kibbe makli ovalti es ayadein, va'ata ha'isi l'shnei machlois. Says Rashi there, a second pshat, Medrash Agada, says Rashi, Nosn makloi v'yadin v'nivka ayadein. Yaakov Avinu was zeicha to do a kriyas yadein with his makel, and that's how he got over. If we look in the Torah, we see a Parshas Beshalach. We've got a long parsha with a long shira, where the Torah elaborates and tells us all about Kriyas Yamsuf. And over here in this week's Sedra, it's mentioned Beremez, Rashi, and Medrash Agada has to tell us that Yaakov Avinu did the Kriyas Yaldin. Why did the Torah not mention it more? Why does the Torah make such an issue out of it in Parshas Beshalach? And here it's hardly mentioned. There's also other nisim, big nisim, like Avraham Avinu was saved from the fire, the Orkastim. It's also only mentioned Beremez, it's hardly mentioned in the Torah. Whereas all the makis and the nisim Adlilim, when they came out of Mitzrayim, is such a long arichus, a few sedros speaking about it. What's the difference between these nisim and these nisim? The famous Ramban, Sof Pasha's boy, the Yesodos of Yiddishkeit, the Ramban is Marich there and explains that at the beginning, after the world started filling up, people started getting a shibush, started getting disordered in their minds, and started being over the Zorah, started being makrish the Hashkochas Hashem, they were makrish Hashkochas Protius. They started denying the etzem mitzvahs of the Rebbeinu Shleilom. So the Rebbeinu Shleilom, what did he do? He made a few extreme nisim, a few nisim here and there, which shook the whole world. Says the Ramban, the aim of these nisim was that when you see a big nest, happening, like Kriyas Yamsuf, and other big nisit that happened in Mitzrayim, it awakens you and makes you realize that there's a manig abira, there's somebody here in charge, somebody's got control. And through these big nisim, it is ma'ir of the person, and the person comes to understand that ba'etzem, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam who's running the world and everything that's happening. The Lashon of the Ramban is, the min ha'nisim ha'gdolim ha'mefusomim, odom moideh v'nisim ha'nistorim. Through the nisim ha'gdolim, the big famous nisim that happen, it causes the person to be moideh, to agree that also the nisim ha'nistorim, the small nisim, the nisim that are the daily nisim, are also from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ramban stresses that Ribbono Shel Olam does everything, and even the natural things that are happening are also really nisim, and there's no teva or ness. It's all one, it's all ness, and all through the Anhogas Hashem. And he finishes off with a very strong loshen, she'ein lo adam chelik b'toyas Moshe Rabbeinu ad she'nami b'chol dvorim o'mikri o'mikol dvoreinu o'mikreinu she'kulam nisim ein behen teva. There's a person doesn't have a chelik in Toyas Moshe Rabbeinu. That means the roots of Yiddishkeit is that we've got to believe that everything comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam. We say in Ashrei, Yiduch Hashem kol ma'asecho, v'chasidecho yivoruchucho. The chasidecho anshei ma'isa, the chasidim, those already bali ma'iles, and they yivoruchucho, they bench the Ribbono Shel Olam to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for what they've got. What do they do? Says Rashi, says Ashrei Father. What do they do? Kvoid malchuscho yemeru ugvorascho yedaberu. To thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they talk about kvoid malchuscho, the malchus yemeru ugvorascho yedaberu, and the gvoras of Ribbono Shel Olam they speak about. And then the next pasuk carries on, leidia levnei adam, and they also go into the leidia to the people. What does it say? Gvoraso uchvoid adam malchusoy. The first pasuk says, first Malchus, Malchuscho, and then it says Gvurascho Yidabeyu. Loidia Levnei Odom, it turns it around. It says first Gvuroisacho, Chvoid Adam Malchuscho. Why does the Pasuk change it around? What's the difference between Malchus and Gvura? Malchus is the Anhoga of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the daily Anhoga. The daily Ashkocha Protis, the natural daily Anhoga, the B'chol Yom, the daily life, that is the Malchus, the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's how you see the kingdom, the Malchus of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Gvurois are the one-off big nisim that happen here and there. The as we just said from the Rambam, the aim of the Gvurois is to bring us to understand that there is Malchus as well. So by seeing these huge, big happenings that happen, and we realize that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam behind it, that brings us to understand that the daily running of the world is also the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the Malchus. The Chasidecho, their people are already on a higher darga. They see the Ribbono Shel Olam and everything that happens to them. The whole day long, they're living in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Malchus, they see the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, the Chasidecho Yivaruchucho, they start off with Malchus because they see the Ribbono Shel Olam in everyday life. And they also add on the Gvuroisam, they also speak about the big nisim. But lo idea levnei Odom, to be my idea to the Hamoinam, to be idea just to all the world, to all the various people, there you have to start off with Gvuroisam, you start off with the Gvurois, and then you carry on the Chvoid Adam Malchus. Now that they come to recognize the Malchus. When Klal Yisrael were coming out of Mitzrayim, they needed a chizuk, they needed to learn that there is Malchus, they needed to learn that there is Ribbono Shel Olam. So therefore, when Ribbono Shel Olam started off with the Gvurois, did lots of big nisim, and those big nisim are mentioned in the Torah, because the aim of these nisim was to bring us to understand that there is Ashkochos Hashem and everything that happens. Therefore, there's a long arichos in the Torah of all those various nisim. The Avos, they were like the Chasidecho, they were the Anshei Maisa, they were already on the Darga, they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam and everything that was happening with them. They didn't need this Gvurois to bring them to recognize the Malchus. But nevertheless, there were occasions when they still needed the big nisim, but Pasha to save them in their daily life, they needed this. Like Avram needed to be saved from the Orkastim, Yaakov needed to go through the over the Yarden, Shemesh split the Yarden for him. But these nisim were not as an aim to bring them to understand Malchus. So therefore they're hardly mentioned in the Torah, they're mentioned just in the little remes. Many years ago, as a younger man, I lived in France for a short tkufa, a couple of years, and we had a geisha cleaner, a young lady, and one Friday she was washing the floor, and my wife noticed that she looked very miserable. She looked as though she was even crying. So my wife asked her, "What's the matter?" So she explained to my wife that the system goes in France is that when you learn to drive, you first do the theory, the test that you have to do, and then you have to do the practical, the actual driving test. And the law is there that if you fail the practical test 5 times, so then you have to start off from fresh, from the theory. She said, "Today on the way to work, I failed my 5th time. So now I've lost, I've got to start from the beginning." My wife came rushing in to me. She asked me, "How do you say bashet in English? How do you explain to a goy that it's bashet, it's min hashamayim?" It suddenly dawned upon us how we're living with Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything that we're doing the whole time, the Ribbono Shel Olam is in our life. We're feeling the Ribbono Shel Olam and everything that's happening to us. If we wouldn't have the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'd be completely lost. The Torah carries on this last week, Sedra. It says in the Pasuk, so now, lefi this, we can understand what happened in the Gulf War. The Gulf War, 27 years ago, these people who had no kesher come out to Yiddishkeit, and they were watching on the various places where they could see what was going on. And I don't know if you know what was going on at the time of the Knesset Shul. What happened was that Saddam Hussein had promised that he's going to be dropping bombs, which are going to be chemical bombs. And he did the psychological terror. He got the whole Knesset Shul in such a pachad. All the shops, the shelves in the shops were all empty. There were no tins. All food that kept in tins were gone. We could hardly find them because people had bought tins to have, because tins were not going to be affected by the chemicals that closed. Sellotape to stick the doors. We all had to go into rooms and seal off the rooms, seal off the doors, and stick. It's called today. If you want this, the brown, thick brown tape that one sticks boxes with, it's called Devek Milchama. It's got its name from then. You had to stick the doors, you had to cover your windows with plastic sheeting, and you all had masks. And the masks, at the time, it was a big problem, the masks did not help for those who had beards, so the masks didn't seal off. I had a chava of mine who was in hospital for 2 weeks, because he put the mask on, and he was scared it won't seal off properly, so he smeared shampoo around the mask, that it should stick tight on his face. And then the first bomb landed, and nobody knew. The Israeli radio as well, they tried to play on the nerves of the people, and they didn't give any information, and the owner were very, very tense, in the closed off rooms, not knowing what's happening. We were sure, we all heard the bang, the houses shook, and we were sure that there must be some chemical coming into the room any minute now. So this young man smeared shampoo all around his mask, and he started smelling a strange smell, not realizing it was the shampoo. He was sure it's the smell of chemical, so he smeared more shampoo. And slowly the shampoo started running into his eyes, and not realizing his eyes started hurting, he nearly injected himself, thinking that he's been affected, that the chemical is having an effect on him. He lost the sight for 2 weeks. He was walking around with bandages on his eyes. He couldn't see. It was an unbelievable time. But on the other hand, people saw these Gewaltige Nissen. Through this was happening, 39 Scud missiles landed in Eretz Yisrael, and only one person was killed from a direct hit. All the other, there were a few others who died as well from heart attacks, who were scared, but only one person was killed, and that one person who was killed was a Michal Shabbos Mefahesia, who used to take his motorbike and go into the Frum areas, Dafko on Shabbos afternoon, and disturb the Shabbos.
The pigs. The pigs. Farm of the pigs.
And we saw a gewalt of missing. There was a whole family who were hiding in the sealed off room and in Tel Aviv somewhere. The bomb fell right next to the house and the walls of the room collapsed and the family were all in the room and the walls landed one on the other and the family were all underneath the roof. Had it been a matter of a few seconds, one would have fallen first than the other one, they would have all been crashed. Chas v'shalom. These were Gevurei Hashem, which brought the attention of these people to suddenly realize that there's Malchus. There's Anhoga, Yom Yomi, the Rebbeinu Shalom got complete control. There's no mistakes. Everything is under complete control. And that's what brought these people to be Chosev Tshuva, to be Misoyer themselves. And they came to recognize that that's and there's Rebbeinu Shalom and everything that's happening every moment of the day. Last week's Sedra, it says, when Yaakov Avinu wanted to go to sleep. Vayishka b'mokem ahu. It says Vayikach me'avne amokim. Vayosu me'rashisu. Vayishka b'mokem ahu. Says Rashi, what did he do? He took the stones. Asan kemin malzev soviv l'roishoy sheyorei mipnei chayis rois. Yaakov Avinu was in open air in a field. He was scared of chayis rois. So he took some stones and he made himself a mechitza. Says Rashi, kemin malzev. Kemin malzev means like a gutter. It was a semicircle. L'choyah, it's a pelech. He'd be scared of Chai Yisrael. What's a semicircle going to help him? To build around the harvest. The animals will go around the other side. And if you want to say it's ishtadlis, oh, but this is ishtadlis. What sort of ishtadlis is that? It's useless. There's nothing there. What's pshat in that? There's a famous Gemara in Tainis, the Chof Hayom Ed Aleph. The Gemara says that it was Erev Shabbos, Chad Beis Shom Shei, it was one Erev Shabbos. Chazei Reb Chanina saw Lebrate, his daughter, the Havas Atziva, that she was miserable. She looked depressed. As Shabbos came in, he saw his daughter, something's looked better. Omale, Omalo, Biti, Lemaya Atzivas, why are you upset? What's the matter? Omale, so she said, Kli shel chometz nischalef li b'kli shel shemen. The bottle of vinegar got misplaced, took the place of the bottle of oil. I mixed up between my oil and the vinegar. They look the same color. They got mixed up. Ve'edlakti mimena oil l'shabbos, and I lit the candle, the Shabbos lights, from vinegar. Omar lo, he said to his daughter, Biti, ma'ich bislach, as they say in the written, ma'ich badlach. What's it bother you? The one that says that shemen shall burn, he'll say that vinegar should burn. What's the difference? The Gemara finishes off. Tana hayadilek v'hoylech kolayin gulei ad sheviu mimena oil avdola. The light burnt instead of normally for a few hours on Friday night. It burnt right through Shabbos and they lit the avdola candle from it. L'chay, it's a medrash peliyah. This Gemara. What's this Gemara telling us? First of all, why was she upset? We're talking about she's lifting Shabbos candles. They're burning. She should be jumping in joy. Daddy, look at this big nest that's happened. And if you want to say that, what sort of reaction was that her father said to her, Ma'ich bislach? What's it bother you? Of course it bothers her, because if it's not burning, then she's going to be sitting in the dark, because she's lost the midst of the Shabbos candles. So what sort of reaction was it, her father says to her, what's it bother you? And if you want to say that maybe she was bothered because she was scared that Chazal tell us, Al Yamid Odom Mamokin Sakona, Im Oisim Loines, Menachin Lemis Chuyesov. Maybe that's why she was upset. She was getting nervous. She saw big nests happened here. And she's showing her father, what's going to happen here? I'm going to lose my Chuyesov. They say that something has a nest done. So Menachin Lemis Chuyesov. Also, one needs to understand what was the aim of the extra nest that the candles burnt till Avdola. It was enough what happened. You see the candles burning. Why does it have to go on another nest? There's another Gemara in Avodah Zarah, one of the famous Gemaras mentioned often. The Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Kishtachol Ebesi ben Kisma, Halach Ebchanina ben Chadjin Levakri. And Ebesi ben Chista was in his deathbed, his Talmud of Chanina ben Chadjin went to visit him. As he came in, Omaloi, Ebesi ben Kisma said to Ebchanina, Chanina Achai, you don't know, Sha'omazu, this nation that we under its control, the Beishlim made them, gave them the koyach to reign on us, Shechrivas, Beisoy, Vesovas, Echoloi, Behogas, Hasido, Behogas, Toivov. This nation has done the Chorban, they've killed the Talmid Chachamim. You see, the Beishlim is giving him the permission to do all this. Va'adaini Kayemes, and this nation is still existent. I heard you, Reb Chanina, are Oisik Batoya, even though they've made the Gezerah, they're not allowed to learn. Nevertheless, you're still sitting there and be Oisik Batoya. Umakil Kehilis Barabim, and you're giving Shirim Barabim, you're bringing in an Oilam. And you have a Sefer Torah on your lap, and you're teaching Torah. In other words, how can you do such a thing? You see that these nations, this nation, these Goyim, are managing to do what they're doing, and you're taking such a risk. Being makil kehilas, but gathering people and giving shiurim. Amalei Reb Chanina answered back to Reb Yosi ben Kisma, "Min haShemayim mirachmu, Hashem yazor. It'll be okay. Bo Yishlem will help." Amalei Reb Yosi said to Reb Chanina, "Ani oimel chod voim shultam, ba'ata oimeli min haShemayim mirachmu. I'm coming to you with a good taina. I'm asking you a proper question, and you push me off, and you say Hashem yazor. What sort of answer is that?" Tomani, I'm be surprised. Im lo Yisufu oischo, v'sefer Torah beis. I won't be surprised if the end will be that they're going to burn you in sefer Torah. It's another thing we've got to understand why he's giving you this kolala, but it carries on. Amalei Rebbe, Chanina said to Rebbe Yisim Kisma, Ma ani lechayer mabo. If you say that to me, in other words, understand that you're saying I've done something wrong. So, what's going to happen with me? What mali lechayim abo? So Reb Chanina, Reb Yosi ben Kisma says to him, "Klum ma'ase bo le'yodcho? Have you got a ma'ase, a story, some good deed that you've done?" Amaloi mo'is shel Purim nischalfuli b'mo'is shel tzedakah. I was a gabbai of tzedakah, and I'd also put a bit of money aside for my Purim suda, and they got mixed up. And what did I do? The chenak dem la'aniyim, and the money that I put aside for the poor, I gave it to the la'aniyim. Amar lo Yisrael, Yisrael b'kisna said to him, "In Cain, and that's the case. Mechelk choy hi chelki, u'migoyol choy hi egoyoli. If that's the case, then I should have the same, I should have bizoicha to be in the same chenak that you've got." There's another shvera gemara. First of all, we have to understand that when Yosef ben Kisna asked him, "Tell me if some good deed that you've done," he's talking to one of the Gedolei Tanoim, Reb Chanina. What do you mean? I've been sitting all my life learning Torah. What are you asking? "Klum Maisa Bobi Yadecho." I've got a shas in my fingers. I've got all Shulchan Aruch and all Kol HaTorah. I'm one of the biggest Tanoim. What are you asking? "Klum Maisa Bobi Yadi." Also, what does he say? The whole discussion was on how he's moisa nefesh for Torah. So Yazi Kulum Maisa, let's leave off all his Torah and everything he's learned. But now I'm being moisa nefesh for Torah. I'm being such a mysterious nefesh to give shiurim in such a dangerous moment. And nevertheless, he says of a small story of a small amount. The Rashi says that it's money for a Purim Suda. Money for a Purim Suda is probably in our day's money, not more than about £10 you can make a Purim Suda for one person. And that money, he's mevatel on it, and he gave it to Tzedakah. Suddenly, basically, he says, "Oh, if that's the case, it's such a mal Tzedakah, it's such a gavaldik indeed. So then, halavai mal had the chelik with you." What's pshat in this? Well, how does the Kabbalah understand such a Gemara? To understand this, I want to quote another Gemara. The Gemara in Chulin, the Zion on the base, brings down that there was a Machshefa who was trying to The Gemara says that Ahi is the Habes Komahadron and Mishkel Afra Mitutik Hayad Reb Chanina. There was Reb Chanina there. Again, it's Reb Chanina. Actually, I don't know if certain things the same Reb Chanina, but the Reb Chanina that there was this Machshefa that she was trying to uproot the earth that was underneath the legs of Reb Chanina. That it seems that with magic, it's some sort of way of getting control over him and killing him. And Reb Chanina said to her, "Shkoli, take the earth. Let me say Lach Milsa. You won't manage. It won't work. Why? Ein oig milvadoi. I believe in ein oig milvadoi. There's no other koyach in the world besides the Rebbeinu Shleilom. Ein od koyach. There's no other koyach in the world besides the Rebbeinu Shleilom. Nothing will happen." So Rebbeinu Shleilom asked him that the word kishuf, kshofim, is not tricky. In Rosh Hashanah of makhishim pamal yishomayla. That there is a, such a sort of a Muslim, there is such a thing, that there is a koyach of those who are makrish hashkochas Hashem, that they do have some sort of koyach to do something. So the Gemara says, Shari Reb Chanina, the Nofish Chusei. Reb Chanina is on a different level. The Nofish Chusei is on a higher dog. And the Gemara carries on as a hemshech, V'omer Reb Chanina, Ein odom neichiv etzboi le minamato, ele inkei machizim olom minamala. A person doesn't knock his finger, even a little knock, he knocks his little finger, nothing happens to a person, ele inkei machizim minamala, if it's announced in Shemayim that he deserves to have it. This Gemara tells us that there's a musug of Einoid Milvadoi, that somebody who lives in Einoid Milvadoi, then nothing else can have control over him. The Gemara tells us that somebody who, like Reb Chanina, who ain't of the noikim etzboi lamata, elyin kei machrizin milamala, that means he lives every stage of his life when he sees the malchus Hashem, the anhogas Hashem, at every stage that happens. A person who lives the Ribbono shel Olam, he lives Einoid Milvadoi, a person like that, is, nothing else can have control of him, he doesn't need to be scared even of a machshefa. With this, we can understand Reb Chanina, Agam, this one, it says Chanina is the Loshon of Cholon Kor. Somebody who lives, the Ribbono shel Olam is the whole time giving us. Reb Chanina was being Makil Kehilos. Reb Chanina was being Makil Kehilos because Reb Chanina was living a life of Einoid Milvadoi. He felt the Ribbono shel Olam at every stage and wasn't scared. Reb Yosef ben Kisma saw his taking risks. He didn't know the value of Reb Chanina. So Reb Yosef ben Kisna said to him, "Klum meisen bo leyotcho? Have you got a piece of meisen? Let me know who you are. And at that I'll know whether you're Ben Olam Haba or not." So he told over this meisen. What's this meisen he told over? He said, "I live the Ein Odom Makir es Etzboi Milamato, Elein Ke Machizim Milamalo. I live on Hoga that everything comes from Min HaShamayim." So the same thing as well, Ein Odom Ma'alvev Kasboi Kaset HaTzoka, Elein Ke Machizim Milamalo. I understand that if my money in my pocket got mixed up, it's a simon Min HaShamayim. The Bishlam wants me to give this money to Tzoka. So therefore I didn't question it and I gave that money to Tzoka. Why? Because I live a life, I see everything is alpi on Hagas Hashem. Says Reb Yosef ben Kisna, if that's the case, that you're on such a darga of Einoid Milvadoi, that you live the Ribbono shel Olam in every stage of your life, so that's the case, halavai, that my chelik should be with your chelik. If that's the case, then you're allowed to be Makil Kehilos and learn, teach Torah Barabbin. Reb Yosef, Reb Chanina and his daughter, she was saw this Gevaltige Nes that happened, the candles are burning, and she got scared because somebody has a nest. Menachem Levi Zchuy Yosef. So therefore, she was miserable. What's going to happen? Her father said to her, "My ich bisloch, don't worry. Why? Because we're a sort of house where we live a hashkocha of Einoid Milvadoi. We live a hashkocha that we see the Yad Hashem and everything. There's no nest and teva. It's all nest." Everything is the Ribbono shel Olam. And for the Ribbono shel Olam, there's absolutely no difference between wine and vinegar. Between oil and vinegar. They both burn exactly the same because it's all Yad Hashem, it's all Ness. So therefore, you don't need to be worried. Somebody who lives on Hogel like that of Einoid Milvadoi, like Chanina the Nofish Schusim, he's got Schusim, he's not using up your bank account of your Schusim that you've got. But you're living a different sort of life. Somebody who lives a different sort of life, lives that sort of life, that he feels with Benjamin in every stage of his life, he doesn't use up his Schusim. So therefore, you don't need to worry. To show that the Ribbono Shel Olam is taka, the malchus, that there's, it's all this, and there's no teva, the candle burnt till Motzei Shabbos. That means that not only in the echus, not only in the quality of what was burning, that it was chometz and not wine and not oil, but also the quantity that normally you put in a certain amount, we automatically we fill up a little kos, and that's supposed to burn for 2 or 3 hours. Says Ribbono Shel Olam, no, everything is nes. There's no teva, and just like it can burn for 2 or 3 hours, it can burn a whole Shabbos. To show that not only in what she was using, but also how much you put in, it's all in the hands of Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it burnt on Motzei Shabbos. Reb Shimon, the Welt say that Reb Chaim asked Reb Shimon Shkop, Yosef HaTzadik received another 2 years in prison. Why? Because he had said two words. He had said, Zechartani, Hizkartani. He said the Sa'am Mashkin to remember him and repeated himself twice. So therefore he got 2 years. So the Welt said that Reb Chaim asked Reb Shimon, had Yosef HaTzadik said just one word, what would have happened? How much would he have got? So Reb Shimon said, Poshet, if for two words he got 2 years, for one word he would have got 1 year. So Reb Chaim said, no. For one word, it was mutter for him to do. He wouldn't have got prison for that. Two words, that already wasn't the case, therefore he got an extra prison. So had Shver, if that's the case, he should have just got 1 year. Why did he get 2 years? If one word was allowed to, so it's only the second word that's the problem. So there was no, you should have only got 1 extra year. Why did you get 2 extra years? Now Pshat is, like we've seen here, that Be'etzem, Hishtadlis does absolutely nothing. The whole inner of Hishtadlis, as the Svarim explained, is Rebbe Shimon doesn't want it to be so clear the Anhogas Hashem. The Rebbe Shimon wants the Anhogas Hashem to be covered up and wants us to do Hishtadlis. But our Hishtadlis does absolutely nothing. It's like the Shemen and the Chometz, it's got no koyach at all. But we've got to do it because we need to hide things up. If somebody does a ribbing Hishtadlis, somebody does too much Hishtadlis, so then he shows that he believes in his Ishtablis. So the bit of Ishtablis that he's doing becomes possible. You're not allowed to do that because you have to know that Ishtablis doesn't do anything. So had Yosef HaTzadik done only one word, said only one word, that would have been okay. As soon as he says two words, so the first word also becomes possible. It becomes a Ribbi Ishtablis, and therefore they got 2 years. Yaakov Avinu, when he wanted to prepare for himself, the stones to sleep on them. Somebody just told me yesterday, I was talking to Tom Chochum and Eitz Shaw, as a joke, he said, why did Yaakov Avinu put stones down as a cushion? Why didn't he just take off his shoes and put his shoes underneath his head and use his shoes? So he was scared that they're going to become one, he'll end up with only one shoe. I called Bonin, Yaakov Avinu took the stone and put them around him, even though it was only a semicircle, and it can't help, and the Chai Yisrael come around the other side, but in his Madriga, that was enough Ishtadlus. Benka, anyway, the Ishtadlus doesn't do anything. And that was enough Ishtadlus for himself. So therefore, he was Yetzer with that, that's why he did a semicircle. I heard the Gvaltiga Maisa around this subject. Somebody at Tam Chochem, a younger man, today is a Malamud in Cheder, in Ranana. I had quite a connection with him. He's a Baal Tshuva, and in his younger years, he was in the army in Eretz Yisrael, and he started hearing droshes and went to Chizuk in Yiddishkeit, and he started becoming frommer. He slowly started davening, on sitters. Was makbid on his pears, was kaveh itim la Torah, and his friends in the army couldn't bear it, they couldn't watch it, and they started causing him trouble. They started chaperoning whenever they could. They would definitely give him, put in front of him food that didn't have a good hechsher. They would definitely try to invite him to come at times on Shabbos or things like that, and they did parties to disturb him. When he had shiurim, they tried to stop him going. And he was very stark, and he carried on going and doing it, and pushing himself through, and got stronger and stronger in his Yiddishkeit. His general, the Katsin, also was a chiloni, was a friar, and he couldn't see it either. He decided he's going to do a fast one. He's going to give him an instruction to do a certain thing, which will be on the time of his kvius, of his shiur. He knew that once a week he had a shiur, I don't know what else, he had a certain shiur, and he knows that shiur for him is chot v'lo yavoi. He's going to give him an instruction that he has to stay on that day, and he has to do a certain job there in the army. And somebody doesn't do the job, doesn't listen to the instruction of the general, he's in serious trouble. The problem is the punishment can be a whole month in solitary confinement. It can be very, very serious. It's a very serious affair in the army. And so, right, we're going to have a go and we're going to see what's going to happen. So, right, gives him this instruction, tells him what to do. And this soldier starts wondering what to do. They've called me here. But he says to himself, no, my kvius, that's my Yiddishkeit, I'm not going to be mabat on it. And he went to his shia and did not do the job. Arrives at the army the next morning, and his general's waiting there just to get hold of him. And he calls him in, and he says to him, you know you've done a serious crime here. So he says, yes. He says, okay, you're going to have a court case, not a court case, like a hearing, and we're going to have to see what we're doing to you. He says, okay, yeah. Okay, they fix the time for the hearing. Then exactly how it goes is the same day or the next few days. And the system how it goes there in the army, that it's the general himself who's the judge. But the soldier has got a right to say, I don't want this general, I want another general. So they come to the fix the time of the hearing, and they ask this soldier whether he's got preference and who should judge him. As they asked him, he suddenly remembered that just the week beforehand he'd heard a whole shia on Einoid Mavadi. He thought, Einoid Mavadi? No difference to me. Whoever wants to judge me can judge me. So his general was all very happy about that. Right? Okay. They fix the time and they sit down, and the general starts taking out all the paperwork and starts reading through the crime that he's done. He did this and that, and Einoid is such a thing, is such a terrible Einoid, etc., etc. So, right. And then he says, right, okay. So I've decided that, and he's sitting there, Einoid Mavadi, the whole time concentrating. There's no other koich in the world, nobody can do anything to me, it's all in Rabbi Shlomo's hands. And then this general carries on talking. So I've decided that, you know that you've done a terrible crime, and I've decided that. And he just starts stuttering away. Slowly he gets. Tries again, and he gets red in his face, gets frustrated, he bangs on the table, and do you know what you've done? Do you realize that? And I've decided. General starts feeling uncomfortable. He just got out from his place and went out of the room, and was outside for about 10 minutes, comes back inside, says, right, so now, I've decided that, and he just couldn't get the words out of his mouth. So he came to such a stage, he just banged on the table and said, I'm warning you, this is the last time. And that was the end of the thing. A few months later, the soldier had finished his period in the army. This is a nice, I know the Valdova. He finished his period in the army, and they made a party, a farewell party, his friends. And at the party, the general called him aside. I said, do you remember some time ago, there was this in the story, so I remember it. So I don't know what happened to me. I never stutter. I've never got a problem saying the words. I tried to say the words, but they didn't come out of my mouth. I just couldn't get them out. So I went out the room, and I did rehearsals outside, and I huzzled over the words again and again, exactly what I wanted to say. And I came back in the room, and again, it just didn't come out of my mouth. You've got great God up there. Einoid Mavadi. Serious things. Yeah.